In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. For the past 2-3 weeks, we have been looking at the Holy Spirit. We have looked at the Holy Spirit, our helper. We have looked at Holy Spirit, my helper. And today, I want us to continue with the topic of the Holy Spirit, my helper, again. So we've looked at the Holy Spirit, meet the Holy Spirit. We've looked at Holy Spirit, our helper. We've looked at the Holy Spirit, my helper. And last week, we looked at the meaning of Paracletos and looked at different things it means for us to understand who the Holy Spirit is. And today, we want to go further to look at specific things that the Bible says the Holy Spirit will help us with. Specific things that the Bible says the Holy Spirit will help us with. The Lord helping us this morning, we'll look at between 7 and 8 things that specifically the Bible says the Holy Spirit will help us with. Number one thing that the Holy Spirit will help us with. He is our helper in the study of the Word of God. Remember last week we called him an intercessor on our behalf. So he helped us to pray. And today the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the Word of God. Listen to me. Without the Holy Spirit, the Word of God cannot be understood appropriately. Let me tell you this. If I write a letter to my brother here, there is a reason for which I wrote that letter. There is only one interpretation of that letter. Listen to me. Please, attentively. If I write a letter to my daughter, there is a reason for which I wrote that letter. There is one interpretation of that letter. Anybody that reads that letter 20 years after, 30 years after, if he does not know my intention of writing that letter, the person can read meanings into the letter that are not correct. The problem is not what is written in the Bible. The problem we always have is interpretation. The problem is not that you did not have a dream. The problem is the interpretation of a dream. As a pastor of this church, I've seen many people have dreams, wonderful dreams of direction, and they misinterpreted it, and everything went haywire. The Lord's word has only one interpretation, but it has many applications. For you to understand, after years of writing my letter to my daughter, for you to understand that, you can call me and say, when you wrote this, what do you mean? And the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. And for us who have a right interpretation of the Word of God, we need to go back to Him. Are we here? You want to understand the Bible, you need to go back to the author. His name is the Holy Spirit. Can we quickly look at 2 Peter 1, verse 20 to 22. 2 Peter 1, 20. And knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's interpretation. Listen to me. Look at it. We come for Bible study and we read the Scripture. Then they say something about it. And everybody and say, to me, oh, this is how it means. Me, this is how I see it. Funny Scripture. Funny interpretation. Funny saying. Are you the one that wrote it? It is not about you and your experience and what you think about it. It is what the Holy Spirit thinks about it. And that's why he said, know him first of all. First of all, there are no prophecy, no Scripture, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. So stop saying to me, I think. You don't think on my behalf what I wrote to my daughter. You ask me, what do I mean? Verse 21, look at this. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. So man's will cannot interpret it. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Listen, in those days when our parents were illiterate, when they want to write the letter, they call somebody and they tell the person and he writes on their behalf. That person himself does not know the reason
and the intention for the letter, even though he was writing it.
So if you want an interpretation, if you go to that person,
he might not give you the correct interpretation. He will give you based on what he thought the person dictating it was saying it.
If you need the right interpretation of scripture,
you go back to the Holy Spirit.
So when you wake up in the morning, it's not 5 minutes to seven. Seven, I'm going now. Then you quickly carry the Bible. And
no. You ask the Holy Spirit to help you to interpret the scripture. And what word does he have for you? And then he interprets the scripture for you appropriately.
Can I tell you this?
Many of us have been taught wrongly. Many of us have heard wrongly. Many of us have held on to some doctrinal beliefs that are putting us in trouble. I was there before.
I have attended churches of different doctrinal backgrounds. And sometimes this church is saying this, that one is saying that. And it goes to a time, I say, hold on, let me go through the Bible myself. With a fresh mind, like somebody that knows nothing.
And I started reading afresh. Holy Spirit, help me. And I started asking questions. And things started changing in my life. Because I was taught by interpretation of men, I did not listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say to me.
So listen.
The Holy Spirit is the only one that can help us interpret and understand the Bible.
Do you remember the Ethiopian eunuch? As he was riding from Jerusalem, from the feast, and was going home, he was reading the Bible in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Verse 29 to 31. He was reading the Bible, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and meet the man. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And I think that is a question for most of us in church this morning. Do you understand what you are reading? And let's go on. And the man said, and he said, how can I, unless someone guides me?
And he invited Philip to come and sit up.
Sit with him.
And Philip, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, started interpreting. Let me share this with you.
There are two books of the Bible, Job and Ephesians, that I've always had problem with when I was young. Job,
by the time I finished the first chapter and finished the second chapter, there is nothing they have written there that I understood. Ephesians, by the time I read the first chapter, the things there look so difficult for me to explain.
And then, when I went on the journey of reading for the Holy Spirit to interpret to me, do you know, funny enough, those two books are two of my favorite scriptures, books of the Bible, presently.
Why? Things that look so difficult and tough, the Holy Spirit explained them and broke them down for me.
When you want to understand the Bible, go back to the writer. And the name of the writer is the Holy Spirit. Lift up your hand and say, can we pray together? I say, Holy Spirit, a fresh understanding of your word. A fresh understanding. Whenever I read the word, let there be a fresh revelation. Whenever I read the word of God, let there be a fresh revelation. Whenever I read the word of God, let there be a fresh revelation. Whenever I read the word of God, let there be a fresh revelation for me. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Listen,
the Holy Spirit is the one that will reveal the mind of God, the will of God, the purpose of God in scriptures for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 5 to 13 speaks about we not knowing the mind of God, but the Spirit of God knowing the mind of God and interpreting scriptures to us,
opening our minds to see what we never knew existed. In John chapter 16, the Bible says it's the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. In John chapter 14, the Bible says the Holy Spirit
will teach us all things and remind us of all things.
So number one thing we need to know today
is the work and the help of Holy Spirit in interpretation and understanding of scriptures.
Number two help of the Holy Spirit that we have is that the Holy Spirit avails us of the power of God. The Holy Spirit makes available unto us the power of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 18.
And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. I'm not going to dwell on this much, but if you look at some things here, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive what? Power.
You will receive power for what? For witnessing, not for boasting. We don't receive power for show off. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we receive power. And when we receive power, that power is for witnessing. Unfortunately, we have shown the power to prove ourselves that I'm a man of God. We have taken the power to show off, and things are no longer the same in the church again, because the power is used wrongly. But that's not our focus. Our focus is the fact that the Holy Spirit makes power available for you. A powerless Christian is a misnomer. It's an abnormality.
A person filled with Holy Spirit, a person claiming to speak in tongues, that is powerless, is a disgrace to the faith.
Because when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, what comes upon us is power. Listen, all of you born again, filled with the Spirit, are full of power. In this room, we have enough power from the gen to power up everything we have here. But as long as the switch is off, we cannot enjoy the power, even though the gen is running. It's the same way in the life of many people here. The Holy Spirit is in us, full of power, but the switch is off.
You need to on the switch.
And the name of the switch is faith. The power of God in you is activated by faith. The power of God in you can bring forth healing. But when somebody is sick and you refuse to pray for the person, you have not switched on. Put on the switch. You have not switched on the power. And nothing seems to work.
So we have people here that in their careers, in their business, in their families, they need the power of God at work. They have set up a committee on the power of God. They have spoken about the power of God. They have read about the power of God. But they refuse to put on the switch. What you don't work does not work for you.
Hello, are you here? You need power. Work it. Speak it. Bring it forth. You are filled with the Holy Spirit.
I pray for everyone here. Every inadequacy. La baga limoshinta. Karia kalamaka.
E telemo koli mekeria. Can we pray together? Say every inadequacy. Every inadequacy in my life. Holy Spirit. Complete. Make available. Any inadequacy, by your power, by your power, by your power, by your power. Any inadequacy in my life, by your power, make available. By your power, make available. By your power, make available. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, you are praying.
So if you check throughout the Old Testament, you will see ordinary men in the New Testament. Ordinary men, people that almost amounted to nothing. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they were filled with power. And everything about their life changed. Do you remember Gideon? Who was hiding in the valley, in a cave somewhere. And the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he became a deliverer.
Listen.
Whatever you want to amount to in life, because you have the Holy Spirit, you can do more than that. Because His power is at work in you. Stretch your two hands towards the altar. Stretch your two hands. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. Let's pray together. La Magaria Kaliboshida.
Let's pray. Let the power of God be at work in every area of my life. From today, let the power, let the power, let the power, let the power. The Holy Spirit has come to help me with the power of God. Let the power, let the power, let the power, let the power of God.
be at work in every area of my life.
By the help of the Holy Spirit. 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 Let the power of God be at work in every area of my life. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Can we pray one more prayer before we move on? Lift your right hand up and say, Holy Spirit, compel men, compel circumstances, compel situations to help me. In the name of Jesus, as we move into the new month, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, compel circumstances, compel the month of March, compel the month of March to help me, to help me, to help me. Compel the month of March to help me. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, compel circumstances. Compel the month of March to help me. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying.
The Holy Spirit, number three, helps us to overcome sin and temptation.
The Holy Spirit helps us to overcome sin and temptation.
Galatians chapter 5, let's read from verse 16.
Galatians 5, from verse 16.
But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and the fleshy desires that lead to sin, you will not respond to it.
Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Continue, sir. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh.
For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. A translation says, so that you do not know what you ought to do. But when we walk with the Spirit, we overcome all the desires of the flesh. We overcome all the temptation of our flesh. We overcome all the sin that is thrown against us.
Listen,
is there anything you are struggling with? The Holy Spirit is powerful than all your struggles.
The Holy Spirit is stronger than whatever I'm struggling with.
Can we say it together? Lift your hand and let's say it together.
Say, the Holy Spirit is stronger and powerful than whatever I'm struggling with. Can you say that? Let me hear you. Can you make that confession again? Let me hear you. Can I hear you? The Holy Spirit is stronger and powerful than anything that I am struggling with. Say that again. Let me hear you. Now, let me fill in the gap. The Holy Spirit is stronger and powerful than smoking that I'm struggling with. Fill in the gap. With an adultery, than sexual immorality, than addiction, than masturbation, than fornication, than pornography, than stealing, than trauma, than depression, than despair, than discouragement. The Holy Spirit is stronger than whatever I'm struggling with. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have decreed.
We are going to do that again. You know, nobody, we don't want the next person to know what we are struggling with. But bow down your heads, let's take this together. Can you say, bow down your heads and let's pray together. Say, the Holy Spirit is stronger than anything I'm struggling with. Losses in business. Failure at the edge of breakthrough.
The Holy Spirit is stronger than it. Illness in my body. Sickness in my body. Promise and fail. Rising and falling. The Holy Spirit is stronger than it. Lack of promotion in my office. The Holy Spirit is stronger than anything I'm struggling with. The Holy Spirit is stronger than miscarriage, than profitless hard labor. The Holy Spirit is stronger than evil dream. The Holy Spirit is stronger
than witchcraft.
Can I hear you? The Holy Spirit is stronger.
Mention your struggles.
The Holy Spirit is stronger The Holy Spirit is stronger. The Holy Spirit is stronger. Can we now go to the second part?
Because the Holy Spirit is stronger, and the Holy Spirit lives in me, and the Holy Spirit is my helper, I prevail over the struggles.
Can we go? Can we go? I prevail. I prevail. I prevail. I prevail. A closed mouth is a closed destiny. Because the Holy Spirit is stronger, powerful, and because He is my helper, and He lives in me, I overcome the struggle. I overcome. Mention the struggle by name. I overcome. I overcome. I overcome. The Holy Spirit is stronger than masturbation. It's stronger than pornography.
It's stronger than sexual immorality. You can stop it by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is stronger. He is bigger. He is mightier. And He is my helper.
He is mightier. And He is my helper. Is stronger than unfruitfulness. Is stronger than anything I'm facing.
In the name of Jesus, lift your two hands up and decree your victories. Lift your two hands. Say, I because of the power of the Holy Spirit, I am victorious over this, over that, over this. Atalimo kole mekeri akata. Ropokoria na makaria kala. Ezente pekeri kala makaria. Eria da 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 da.
The Holy Spirit is stronger than poverty. Ekeria is stronger than unemployment. Therefore, I have victory. I have victory. I have victory. The Holy Spirit is stronger than anxiety, than depression. He is stronger than my fears, than my worry. Therefore, I prevail, I prevail, and I prevail, and I prevail. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Can a church say amen? Let me hear you. Help me say the Holy Spirit is stronger than any difficulty that I have.
And because He's my helper, I prevail.
Can we give a shout unto the Lord?
So, listen. So, this year, whenever you face any challenge, call it by name and say, the Holy Spirit, my helper, is stronger than you. Hello, are we here? Are we here? See, this year, we are not doing theoretical Christianity.
It is practical Christianity. One of my daughters in church spoke to me sometime last week, I can't remember, and said one of the teachings, she was somewhere stuck, needed to call the parents to come and pick her up, but the phone was off. How would I give daddy the time to come and pick me? And she just said, Holy Spirit, I want daddy to come and pick me at this time. Our apostle said, you speak to us. So when she said that, she was waiting to hear the voice of Holy Spirit. He didn't hear any voice. I said, okay, let me go. And she went and sat down, caught up in other things. And then at 9:58, the door opened. And who was there? It was daddy that came to pick her up. Everything we teach you is practicable. We are not here, we are not doing CRS in church. We are doing practical Christian living.
So this year, when you face any challenge, come and say, the Holy Spirit, my helper, is stronger than you.
Can I you say that again? Let me hear you.
Okay, so you are in your God's office and He's threatening you. It's not that you will say, Holy Spirit is stronger than you, O God. We have to explain, no? But within you,
the Holy Spirit is stronger. Maliba God, yeah, about you.
Hello, are we here? Do you understand that? If you understand, say amen as we go forward. Amen. Number 4, when I just gave up my life to Christ, I was in a fellowship where powerful messages of the word of God was preached. But there was this brother that every Wednesday's fellowship, Tuesday or Wednesday, fellowship, whenever they give altar call, he will raise his hand and come. Almost throughout the time I was at that fellowship, every altar call, he comes out to receive Jesus into his life. Brethren, how many times
do we have to receive Jesus into our lives?
Listen. In my interaction with many Christians in Africa, especially in Nigeria, what they say makes me laugh. Because they don't understand the things of the Spirit and the Word of God. In fact, some of us believe now, that if I can think any wrong thing about Jonah now, and Jesus comes, what? I have lost everything. Let me not go, because things like this, you need hours to teach it. For people to let me not go. You did not hear me. Listen. The Holy Spirit gives an assurance of salvation. If you don't allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, every time you will live in condemnation, you will blame yourself, you will think you are dead and buried. You will think as a man, merely looking outside and seeing a beautiful lady passing, and you are going, I will not look back, I will not look back, I will not look back. And the men understand what I'm talking about. And then you look back. My Father, forgive me. Heaven, oh heaven. Heaven, oh heaven. If it is my God, let me tell you, everything will be empty. None of us will make it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? None of us will get to heaven, though, if it is by our power. Then listen to me. The Holy Spirit gives an assurance of salvation to the children of God. He makes available an assurance of salvation. He confirms to us that we are children of God. Romans chapter 8, from verse 16 to 17. Romans 8, 16 to 17. Let's go there. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. What will my daughter do to me? At what point do I disown my daughter? Hello? Is it every day that my daughter does anything wrong? And I say, I disown you. You no longer belong to me. And then when he comes, I repent. And I say, my daughter, welcome back home. And immediately, he does something wrong. I say, I disown you. What is the meaning of everlasting life? Pastor, are you saying, once saved, always saved? No. I'm saying, I know my Redeemer liveth, and I'm persuaded, and I is able to keep what I give unto him until that day. John chapter 10, 35, 39. John 10, 39. Oh, sorry. Romans, John 10, 39. Yeah. 6, 39. John 6, 39. And this is the will of him who sent me. Please, let's read together. Let's read together. Can we go? One, two, go. And the will of who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has. But, question, are you one of those that God has given Christ? Are you one of them? Answer me now. Are you one of them? Are you one of them? Can we read again? Let's go. One, two, go. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on verse 40. Let's go. Verse 40. Verse 40. Can we go? Let's go. For it's the will of my Father that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up
John chapter 10. If you live in sin, you will suffer. If you hand over yourself to Christ, you will survive. If you want to live the Christian life by your own power, you will struggle. If you allow the Holy Spirit to help you live it, you will live it at peace.
If you want to live the Christian life to show off in testimony that I did it and I did that, I did that, I did that. Paul said,
I am crucified with Christ. The life that I now live, not by me, I live by the Son of Man who died for me.
Anyone that wants to live the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit will fail and go to hell. Everyone that lives by the Christian life by the Holy Spirit will succeed and reign with Christ. Let's read together. Let's go again. My
one, two, go. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Continue.
Put it on verse 28. Read it again. Let me hear you. Read it again. Let me hear you. Listen to me. Some things are family things. My wife does something against my children, does something against me. We handle it in the family. Fight, shout, do anything. But we don't do it outside.
Some things are the family thing. When I go against my father, it's a family thing. It's a family matter. Some things are family matter. We don't allow the outsider to take part in it. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hands.
If I live by myself, I will fail. If I live by the one who is holding my hands and I follow him,
I can never miss heaven.
But I can say, leave me, leave me, leave me, leave me, go. But as long as he's holding me, imagine Brother Utake holding my hand. How will I remove my hand from it? Talk less of my Father in heaven. Can we see verse 29? Look at verse. No, can we go to verse 28 again? And read verse 29 also. 28 first. Let's go again. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of verse 29. We have spoken about Jesus. Oh, go to 28 again. Let's see. I want you to understand. 28. Jesus speaking of it. Okay, so this is Jesus' role. Let's go. I give them eternal life and they will, and no one snatch them out. So if Jesus is holding my hands, can I go and be committing sexual immorality? I can't. It is when I leave his hand that I go to do. The role of Jesus, he is holding my hands. Nobody can snatch me. But I can say, your own is too much. Just leave me. You know, leave me, leave me. And I go. That's when I enter into trouble. Let's look at the role of the Father. Verse 29. Verse 29. Read together. Let's go. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of. Listen. So if peradventure, which is impossible, Jesus becomes powerless and you are snatched off of his hands, he now say, my Father also. You are in his hands. Nobody can snatch you there. Knowledge brings victory. Knowledge brings power. By this, you know, you can't lose the battles of life. As long as he's holding your hands. The issue is that he's taking us this direction. We have, and we face this direction. He gives us an assurance of salvation. As long as you are in his hands, don't bother
about making heaven. You will make heaven. This is an assurance that we have in Him. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. Romans 8 verse 1. Can the church, all the church, reach there? Let's go. There is... Read it again. Let me hear you. There is, therefore, now, no condemnation. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Oh, the other... Why did you do this now? Remember, you are a child of God. And he that is a child of God overcomes the world. You have the power to overcome. Go back to your father and ask for forgiveness. You overcome. Conviction. Condemnation. And you call yourself a Christian. God don't catch you. You will not go in the laurels rest. And around the place, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. The Holy Spirit still convicts, but the Holy Spirit does not condemn. Condemnation is of the devil. Conviction is of Christ. We expect greater than for you. The blood of Jesus is there by our side. You can't fail. You are falling. Arise again and walk. Arise again. Arise again. Anything that makes you sin and make you leave the church is of the devil. Is condemnation. When you sin, it's God that you need. Anything that makes you run away from Him is condemnation. It's not of God. Anything that makes you run towards Him is conviction. It is of God. The conviction of God draws you nearer. It doesn't send you. Listen to me. In Christ, in the church, there are people that condemn and there are people that convict. That when something is done wrong, by what they do, they send you away from Christ. And there are some, by what they do after you are falling, they bring you back to Christ. Question, you, as you are seated there, which one are you? Let me tell you this. You attract most of what you are. If you are the one that in your neighborhood, anything wrong, you know, and you are the one talking about everybody wrongly, everywhere, condemning everybody everywhere, the day your child's home will happen, it will be on CNN. We are all living right by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by our power. But listen to me in conclusion. You can't have the Holy Spirit living in you and you are living a messed up life. You can't have the power of the Holy Spirit living in you and you can't confidently bring your neighbor to church because they know the kind of person you are at home. Who are you outside the church? That is what we are interested in. In church, we are all like angels. Praising the Lord. My Lord is good. My Lord is good. But the person is tormentor in chief of New Jerusalem. Tormentor in chief of Sokale. And then answer, he's a member of New Jerusalem. If he's a member of that church, may I never enter that church. Your record is in heaven waiting for you. Are you somebody whose life convicts for righteousness or condemns with guilt and send people to hell? The choice is yours. But brethren, I'm here to tell you that if you have given your life to Christ and you allow Him to hold you, nothing can take you away from Him except you. Except you. So four things we have learned this morning. Number one, the Holy Spirit helps us in understanding Scripture. Number two, Holy Spirit avails us of the power of God. Number three, what is number three? The Holy Spirit helps us to overcome sin and temptation. Number four, the Holy Spirit gives us assurance of salvation. Number five,
The Holy Spirit made gifts available to us, and so on, and so forth.
But I heard that was real. Holy Spirit, my helper. Where do you need help this week?
Can we just talk? Where do you need help? Where do you need help this week? There is help in the house. There is help here. Where do you need his help? Talk to him. Talk to him quickly. Talk to him. Tell him where you need his help. Tomorrow is March 1. Help me. Talk to him. Talk to him. Tomorrow is March 1. Talk to him.
Wherever you go this week, let the help of God pursue you. Let the help of God overtake you. Let the help of God be with you. May you experience another dimension of the Holy Spirit this week. Another dimension.
Can we lift our right hand up and just take one prayer, that prayer, and say, Holy Spirit, let me encounter you afresh. A new dimension of you. A new dimension of you. In the month of March, in the month of March, let it be for me a month of a good relationship with the Holy Spirit. We give you praise, we give you honor.
Blessed be your name, O Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you.